Saleh, welcome to the Commerce Talks podcast today in Riyadh. We are talking about Raha, your company, which you founded in Kuwait. But before I tell anything wrong, please introduce yourself and introduce Raha to us.
Thank you, Alex. Pleasure to be here. So my name is Saleh Al-Talim. I started Raha back in 2020. But before I go deep into what Raha is and who we are, I actually have around 13 years of experience in retail and grocery retail specifically. I've launched a brand out of Kuwait, scaled the business from one store to 25 stores almost, having over 1,000 employees. And when we tried to do groceries online back in 2015, we face a lot of difficulties. And so when you understand how to do a brick and mortar and then you try to do it in e-commerce, you understand that there's a lot of difficulties and issues that you face and that you're not able to actually solve. And that's the main issue that actually pushed me towards understanding that in order for you to be able to tackle the e-commerce, you can't take the same mentality that you have for the brick and mortar and the same resources and tools and capitalize on synergies there and say, you know what, let's go do e-commerce. You actually have to build it from scratch. You have to build it from scratch and go for it.
And before Raha, you built, there was a brick and mortar company?
Yes.
Like a grocery supermarket chain, or what was it?
Yes. We operated a multi-format express supermarket and wholesale format. So it's a membership-based
Focused on Kuwait?
Focused on Kuwait. Okay. Serving the larger households.
Okay.
And so it's a membership-based program. So we actually give cash back on an annual basis for our...
So a bit like in the US, I think it's known with Costco a bit?
Correct.
Okay.
Sunday.
And like, just to understand the market, I know we had like one or two episodes on the Kuwait market. So I remember like 4 million people, 2 million expats, and they're all living in a rather like dense area of the country. Am I correct here?
Yeah, you're not too far off. It's actually around 4 and a half. 75% of them are actually expats. The rest are Kuwaitis.
75% are expats.
Exactly. Yes.
Oh, that I got totally wrong. I always say like 2 million, 2 million, and then it's like 1 million, 3 million.
Yeah, yes, it's very high.
Yeah. So it's, I mean, we're a small country. As you mentioned, we probably live, most of us live closer to the coastal line. It's easy to serve. It's easier, at least from serving Riyadh, for example, or Saudi Arabia. But we do require a lot of manpower to actually help us support the economy there.
Okay. And when you've built the supermarket and tried to do e-commerce in 2015, right? Then you've learned... It doesn't work because people that are doing like procurement processes for a brick and mortar business and doing like the inventory like within brick and mortar supermarkets are not mentally equipped for turning it into an e-commerce business. Correct?
True. I mean, actually, I built two online businesses. I launched, so the brand's called oncost.com. That delivers full grocery baskets. But I also built a business called Bakal, which delivers convenience items in 30 minutes. And that was also launched back in 2015. So essentially it was the first brand that went out with a Q-commerce concept. And these were like vehicles that were mobilized in different areas, residential areas, and were able to serve clients in 10, 15 minutes at that time. But serving groceries is a very difficult process. It's not only in this region. You see that also in Western markets. You see how it took Amazon to actually go into grocery. How it took how Walmart is trying to drive its path towards their e-commerce platform and so on. You see different angles on that. So what we did in Raha is that we decided that in order for us to actually unlock groceries, we actually have to invest not just in the front end. So it's not about just having an interesting UX, UI front end. You actually need to invest in the back end of things. And that meant investing in automation or robotics. So we built the first automated warehouse. We built it through AutoStore partnership with the Swisslog. And we built a dual temperature warehouse. So we have both ambient and chilled warehouses in Kuwait.
How many SKUs are in this warehouse?
So we currently are operating with 30,000 SKUs.
Yes. That's crazy.
It's like a big hypermarket.
That's super big. Yeah, that's a hypermarket.
Exactly. It is. We not only carry just regular, we actually have our own ultra fresh products. So we have value add departments within the warehouse. So we have our own butcher, we have our own fishmonger and so on. So we give the opportunity to our customers to be able to personalize or customize their orders. So if you want your fish done in a fillet, or if you want a fish done with an open back or whatever it is, we are able to do it fresh.
I give Lina the opportunity because she needs to run off to the stage in a couple of minutes, and then I will catch up.
So talking about the 30,000, you know, are they all like you buy them and you source, like, you know, you keep it in your warehouse, or it's kind of like a marketplace where kind of people just keep it in your warehouse, right? The brands keep it in your warehouse, and then it's a bit like, you know, Amazon type of fulfillment sort of center.
Actually, no. So we actually own our
you own the stock.
In the inventory. Yes, we own the stock. We carry, obviously, some consignment part of that is done. But mainly what we do is we take that stock and we try to deliver it to customers in a higher quality basis. So what, for example, let me give you the with automation, what it allows us to do is to understand every single product throughout its entire phase. So when we start receiving products like fresh products, let's, for example, say about apples. We set a shelf life on that apple, saying that a shelf life of an apple is, let's say, 7 days. Okay. On the app, on the front end, when the customers look at that apple, they see a sign that says 3 days freshness. We ensure 3 days freshness on this product. So what happens is that.
So 3 days that you still can keep it at home.
Yes.
So and stay fresh. Yes, okay.
Exactly. So what happens is that from day one, 2, 3, and 4, we are able to sell that apple. Day 5, we're no longer able to fulfill on that 3-day freshness. And that's how automation comes in. It actually quarantines this apple completely and its batch and does allow us to sell it. Thereby, you'll be able to offer customers very high quality in terms of products. And that's how we differentiate ourselves from others, because it's very difficult to manage. You can manage expiries, but it's very hard to manage shelf life and be able to offer customers what they really need and what they really want.
But, you know, talking about Kuwait is a very small market. And as you say, you have like a fresh produce, you know, technically like in a dark store, right? Because you're not really running Raha supermarkets where you can, let's say, move the stock, you know, faster or give it on sale. So how do you manage, you know, like maybe what's the percentage of the fresh versus, you know, just like FMCG type of items? And do you see like, you know, because it's very hard to get to the profitability and you actually have like such assortment of fresh and you're making such a promise to the consumer.
So the majority of our sales actually come from our fresh department. And as you know, fresh departments actually secure a higher margin for it, right? And we actually don't do much promotions on our fresh. It's just when customers actually come in and trust your brand, that happens when they see good quality coming into their houses.
But what does it mean, like fresh department, like your internal butcher
our butcher or bakery or fishmonger, our fruits and vegetables. So the way what we do is that every fruit and vegetable that comes in is pre-packed in packaging that we've produced. So that packaging is transparent. People can see through packaging and they can see the sizes and the quality of that product. And so when you deliver to the customers, they're able to actually examine and look at the product and they enjoy it. And that's why it's our leading department. But the reason we went into groceries is because we understand it has the lowest online penetration between all the segments of e-commerce. So a question that I ask myself is that, why does electronics today, the electronics segment, almost has 35 to 40% online penetration?
In Kuwait.
In GCC.
In GCC.
Okay. And when you look at groceries, pre-corona, it was only 2% online. So that I couldn't understand that. And it made sense once you actually look at the problems. You understand that you have a consumer who's willing to buy electronics, which is a higher basket. So they're willing to spend hundreds of dollars there, but they're not willing to spend on groceries. And that meant that their demand is there. The supply wasn't efficient enough. So coming up with something like Raha allows us to actually tap into the market there and be able to jump on that potential. In addition to that, is basically we took that platform that we created end to end. We built everything in-house. So we have our own engineers. We've set up from first mile to last mile. We built the last mile routing system. We connected it to our sales channel. And now what we're coming here in Riyadh is basically we're coming to market our better tech platform and trying to enable other retailers. So I'm not here to compete with other retailers. I'm here to enable them and be able to give them a full consultation on robotics and automation, build that automation for them, and offer that SaaS platform for them.
That's interesting. So just a final question before I run. So you say, like, I definitely agree with you that in e-commerce and grocery is not about the front end, but it's all around the back end. And the biggest problem I see, not just in Kuwait, but I, like, worked with probably most of the traditional retailers in Kuwait. It's not just in Kuwait, but across the region. Biggest problem is, like, out of stock. So how do you manage? Are you able to offer substitution to the consumers? You know, as you said, you know, you build a platform. And if, like, do you have, like, a strong picker app so that it allows you to scale quite fast, you know, so because you can bring up and down people and give them the technology making? Maybe you can elaborate a bit more on that.
Great. So we built a automated sorting and retrieval system solution, which is a basically a cubic-based system. Okay, so the robots work on top of the automation grid. And so we don't necessarily need a picking app. Okay. Our current we've been operating...
But there must be a huge warehouse. I've seen this AutoStore setups, which was a much smaller selection, and you need a lot of stock per SKU. So it's not enough for you to have, like, 3 packs of milk. So you need, like, 10, 50, 100. That must be huge.
It's actually not that big for us. What's nice about automation is that you build what you need today, and then you can scale as you grow, right? So we've built it in a way that we're able to serve what our expected demand. And it's all built under, our automated ambient warehouse is around 350 square meters.
Hmm.
Yes. So it's not that big. It actually reduces the requirement from real estate footprint. You don't need that many people to operate it. It's very efficient when it comes to energy consumption. And it just enabled us to do a lot. And just to give you some of the numbers that we've achieved, we actually pick around 370 items or picks per hour. So our picker can pick on 370 items per hour. If obviously you have experience with that. The average picker in a traditional warehouse could probably at best go up to 80 picks per hour. So basically that automation allowed our pickers to go up to 370. We have to answer your question about availability, and it was the main problem that grocers face around the world, right? Our pick rate is at 99%. Okay. So what we do is we find ways, and on our app, when you experience the shopping journey there, we avoid after sales communication with our clients. We never come out to them. We rarely do come out to them and tell them, listen, this is missing. We want to replace that with that. We don't want to do that. We want to make sure that once you check out, we don't communicate with you until we actually deliver the product to you. And in order for you to do that, you need to make sure that your automation and products that you have are properly displayed on your app, so that real time data is moving very seamlessly there, and that avoids any out of stock issues.
Wow. So maybe, you know, what I see, let's say, in the Western world, everyone's saying that automation solves critical grocers' online problems. You know, like, you kind of living it, and you can confirm that this is even here.
True.
But we've interviewed a couple of, like, grocers here in the region, but I've never heard so far from an AutoStore warehouse here in the region. That must be, like, in GCC, the only one doing this in grocery, right?
Yes, we're the first. AutoStore is a complex system, so it's being used in various industries. The way that we position ourselves when we come and sell our automation is that today we're a partner that is trying to bridge the gap between robotics providers and industry leaders and businesses. Because we understand that this topic is a very complex topic that has probably a requirement of you investing top dollars on actually best systems out there, we try to minimize that gap. And I've met a lot of businesses here who actually invested in automation. And once they sign with an robotics provider, they take a couple of years and to actually go live, and they face difficulties in going live. So there's a lot of integration that happens, and we understand that it's also difficult to actually integrate automation with your current legacy systems and making sure that everything works smoothly and so on. And so we essentially, what we try to do is that bridge that gap. We talk and speak the same language that retailers and industry leaders do. And we also understand robotics.
But how many customers can you serve with a warehouse that's only 400 square meters?
So the warehouse is larger. And what we're talking about is the automation part. The automation is 400 square meters. The warehouse is around 4,000 square meters. But
how many Kuwaitis can you serve with that?
So we serve the entire Kuwait from that warehouse. We do it on express delivery and scheduled delivery. So our express is around 2 hours, and scheduled, you can schedule from here to up to 7 days.
And how many customers are using it already?
Recently, we've locked in around 50,000 customers in a matter of, let's say, a year.
That's impressive. And those 50,000 customers represent most likely 50,000 households, where like one person is doing like the order for a household. There's like more people behind it, I guess.
Correct.
So what is like the average household in Kuwait? It's like huge families or small families living in one home?
So it's usually larger households. That is obviously also transforming into smaller households. But I mean, a few years ago, it was around closer to the four. So four per household, which is a big number.
And do people like buy their weekly purchase on your platform, or do they like their daily needs?
No, we focus on more of the thoughtful purchases, so which require you to actually go through entire departments and look at what you need and so on. And usually what happens is it's on a weekly basis. So we tend to have customers.
So it's definitely above like $100 per purchase.
So yes, it's not above 100, but it's closer to the $80.
Okay. And then do you charge a delivery fee?
We do. We charge on express and scheduled, but our delivery fees are lower than the market rate.
And are you dropping the delivery fees when the customer is ordering more than, let's say, $200 or so?
Yes. Once they hit the $60, we offer the delivery fee for free.
And we just had like the Deuce podcast here, and I've learned that like even on like fast deliveries, it's possible to do a profitable business because you still have enough people that are willing to do low income jobs. So that is obviously a problem in more developed countries where you don't have like the low job labor anymore because of minimum salaries. How is it in Kuwait? So like, do you find enough people to do this?
I mean, if I were to talk about my business, as I said, you don't need that many people to actually operate automation.
But the riders?
The riders are definitely, as you grow, you add to your last mile. But an issue there is it's not the rider issue. It's not the last mile as much as the picking issue, right? I mean, you're talking about Q-commerce. Q-commerce is facing pressure when it comes to picking because you have one picker who's picking from one order and driver that's taking that for delivering that order. But so basically, essentially, what you're saying is that your CPO is just growing as fast as you are growing. So it is a challenge. I do see some of the aggregators out there, like Talabat Mart and so on, that are trying to build their way towards serving Q-commerce. And in some cases, I've seen it moving into the right direction.
Oh, interesting.
And others, it's a bit difficult.
But when you have this warehouse now and you have the processes and you have obviously a lot of like grocery experience, I guess that's going to be very hard, like for competitors, like entering the market. How long do you, so we are always discussing this kind of, consumer behavior shift in other markets. And 40,000 households in Kuwait is, it's all already like on the percentage side measurable, but it's like far away from like full scale. So how long will it take for you like to get like 10% of all the families like ordering online? Is it like more like a behavior thing that people still want to go to the retail store and they want to talk with the butcher and want to show how to cut it? Or is it rather a resource bottleneck you face?
I believe that brick and mortar will always exist. Okay. So I'm a believer that brick and mortar will exist, but we will coexist with that. And The reason is that today the household is transforming, right? So you have today the older households, today are, their kids are growing up, they're getting married, they're living in a different, environment as well. So whoever used to live in big houses there is living in apartments, and that changes the, even the purchasing habits. So you see, you tend to see people buy big bulk items, through online and go shopping for their fresh sometimes to the brick and mortar. Okay. So it's not one gets all type of market, right? So we've seen that a lot of people enjoy buying online because they start getting accustomed to it. You know, they get used to it and they enjoy it. And if you're getting the right price and you're getting the right quality, why not actually just continue? Grocery shopping does take time from you. So it's not an easy task, and you have to do it probably on a weekly basis. And if you have a solution that is offered to you that is makes that more seamless and easy to do, then why not actually use it?
What is your growth bottleneck? So if you could like solve one bottleneck in your business, what is it? Is it marketing funding? Is it warehouse capacity, rider hiring?
So if I were to talk about our SaaS, which is what we're currently as a company focused on, we want to offer the solution to other companies, right? So we want to enable retailers to actually be able to implement automation.
And what does it include, this solution? What do you ship with this solution?
So with the solution, you get a full backend, frontend, a WMS, a last mile solution, and a sales channel. You know, we could either link to your sales channel or offer you our app.
So you're competing a bit with Ocado from UK.
Essentially, yes, you could say that. However,
so GCC Ocado.
Yes, a GCC Ocado. The way we do it is a bit different. We don't go and try to implement a full centralized fulfillment center and tell you that.
Yeah, that's part of the Ocado promise.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We believe that in order for you to buy into automation, you need to ensure that you have a plan to get your return on that investment, right?
Yeah.
And that's allows us to actually offer to our client a lighter approach to automation. So we offer them a micro fulfillment center approach. So you don't need to go spend big money on centralized fulfillment centers, because it might make sense in other markets, but I believe in this region, it really doesn't fit our requirements.
And this service, you will focus on like other countries in GCC, because you don't want to have like a competitor on your own in Kuwait, I guess.
Because I've been into groceries, I know that you will never find a grocer that's going to take the entire market, right? We all have our market share, and we try to even strive to actually grow that. But I'd love to actually be able to enable others, okay, even if they were to compete with me, but I would love to actually enable them, because that actually grows that online penetration that we're talking about, right? You obviously shop groceries, I believe so. If you shop groceries at home, you would understand that sometimes you buy online, sometimes brick and mortar.
There's no online options at my region. No, there's not. Like, believe me, I'm working since years, even on a podcast site, convincing people that doing this, but it's like, there's no option.
Then we should come there, I guess.
Yeah, you should definitely come there. Yeah.
And the other thing is that today, so we try to convince them with automation. And the way that we do that is we offer them RAS. So we offer them robotics as a service. And the way that is done is that we look at your data, we look at your sales historical data, and we come and tell you what's the best automation solution that fits your business. So we don't try to upsell our own solution. No, we try to find what best fits your solution, your business. And once that's done, we actually can offer you a lease to own type of model. So you don't actually have to buy everything that gets good. You can purchase part of it, and then we can lease the robots in a certain amount of period or term, and you would own it at the end of the term.
Ah, interesting. Interesting. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's definitely a smart proposition to do that. I mean, it's very, it's a strong long-term vision, I have to say. Are you able to sell already retail media within your business? Because like with 40,000 households you are serving, that must be an interesting proposition to, I don't know, Coca-Cola or other brands saying, okay, please give me, Saleh, give me like the opportunity to promote to all Pepsi consumers a new Coca-Cola proposition. Here, take my money.
Definitely. And in order for you to do that, we are big believers in content creation. And the way we drive that is through our app. We have a feature, for example, of recipes on our app. Okay. So that recipe feature or product on the app allows customers to come in, look at certain recipes, whether it's health driven recipes or healthy driven recipes or a local traditional recipes, whatever it is, and able to actually add products right there for their either lunch or dinner or whatever it is. And that's where we start connecting suppliers or distributors and their products with the client. These recipes are done in-house, and that's how we start creating content and interacting with our customer base. So we actually do stuff where we create a recipe and then we shoot it out to our customers and our social media followers, and we ask them to do the same recipe at home and see how each one has his own version of do of it and so on. And that really interests FMCG companies and so on to actually come in and say, you know what, I want to do a taco box for me and a recipe and sell it out. And actually we're launching, we just launched today, a product with General Mills on their old Paso tortillas. So we did a taco box and we're launching it. So this is just one example of how we interact with the FMCG companies and try to interact with our customers and, create that, sort of interaction that, basically allows us to be more of just buying and selling and being more, connected to our customers.
So we had like with almost every guest here the talent discussion, and it's hard to get talent in Dubai. Also, it's like a very expats driven thriving market. It's even super hard like to get talent in Jeddah or Riyadh. Kuwait is even more exotic for many people to move there. How do you do that? Because you have an app where people can order. So you need like UX design, commerce functions, online marketing. So how is it?
It's difficult. But we were lucky to actually have the startup team, Afraha, come in. They come in from various backgrounds, from Delivery Hero, from Amazon and other places. And, bringing that team together was difficult, at first. Maintaining it is another question as well. And making sure your team enjoys coming to work. And we do also work with, most of our engineers are in-house engineers, but they're allowed to work remotely. So that solves some of that challenge. But it's specifically why we came out with that RaaS and SaaS solution. It's because a lot of these companies, even in Riyadh and in Saudi Arabia or in UAE and so on, face difficulties actually of getting talent in-house that would understand robotics. So your reliance on and your decision-making is completely set on whatever the supplier is selling.
Yeah.
Okay. So if you don't have that in-house talent, your decision-making process will be difficult. And that's why we believe, we try to bridge that gap from that angle.
Super nice. It's a super interesting proposition. Very impressive business with like two growth verticals, your own core business and like the SaaS service. Definitely will follow up on you on this. And thank you for explaining us your business here.
Thank you, Alex, for having me. And hopefully we'll welcome you in Kuwait and we're able to see.
Now is our third guest from Commerce Talks. Definitely a reason to go there. Thank you.